and welcome back to another episode of Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And always, we're in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. Almost 5 years, and I think that's the best one yet that I've ever done. Also,
that was pretty good.
Honorable Tesla.
That was a solid take three. Good job.
That was the first take. The Honorable Tesla is here. And also, the very fantastic Miss Frida. And that also disembodied voice that you should know by now is, of course...
They know the disembodied voice by now. Hi, everybody. It's Butt Maestro again.
Why? You didn't even let me rub your beard.
Aw. I will gladly let anyone rub my beard if they want. It's a genuinely fun feeling. Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
I just noticed that Boy Erased is directed by Joel Edgerton and written by him.
Right.
Whoa.
Joel Edgerton has been everywhere recently. He's become a phenomenal director.
You mean Owen Lars?
Yes, Owen Lars. We do have to talk about, we have a third person in the video store today. We have an extra guest.
The one that took sentient form of a hologram?
I took a friend along with me, and I'm not saying that under duress by any means. I'm not twitching at you to indicate that I'm being held hostage and I'm being forced to do this review against my will.
Are you saying you need pants or you need help? Because you obviously don't know Morse code.
I'm certainly...
You obviously don't know Morse code. Now you're telling me you need to zip up your pants.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I deal with on a daily basis.
It's GLaDOS, everyone.
Sorry, I can understand Morse code.
I know, and I'm trying to tap S-O-S.
But you also were giving me twitching signs, so I didn't know if that was a pause.
This is
along.
A movie review podcast. They also review candies, hot sauces, dog chew toys, etc., etc.
Oh, and
why am I doing y'all's introduction when y'all are arguing about Morse code?
It's already been established. GLaDOS is better at our job than we are. In the last few weeks, we've had to introduce notes into the show. It's because GLaDOS is basically our producer.
But I've already had notes. You mean you? I have notes right here.
I come prepared.
Mentally prepared? Okay, so we're going to talk about... So a couple weeks ago, we did best and worst of 2019.
Yeah, and I distinctly remember this being on my worst list. And I want to take this down a few notches, actually. Having watched it again last night,
Okay. So I watched it right after we talked about it. And... I am going to be in Disney while this drops.
Yep.
So I thought, what better way to celebrate Disney than doing a live-action version of a...
I want to be on record as saying I wanted to do King of Thieves, but no, it wasn't allowed. We had to do the live-action one. Fine.
So,
let's do live-action Aladdin.
So live-action Aladdin.
Okay. First off.
That's 3 minutes in and they finally said the title of the movie.
Yeah.
They said a thing!
They're gonna see it on the thumbnail when it comes up in the podcast app. Okay, so what do you want to talk about first? So we want to talk about. Do we want to jump right to 30 minutes into the movie when we finally see Will Smith as the genie?
This movie has been out since 1992. It has been out.
The animated version of this live action movie.
It's basically the same. So don't get your I don't know, fanboy, whatever fanboy things are in a wad, and get upset that we don't do it properly. Look, you know the fucking story. We're just gonna do it. We're gonna review it.
I highly recommend watching the original Aladdin before you watch this, so you can be equally infuriated at how bad this movie was and how great this movie could have been. I swear to God, the most infuriating parts of this movie are when little glimmers of hope shine through. There are scenes in this movie where shut up. There's scenes in this movie. They don't know what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Let me talk with my hands, okay?
I didn't know you... Didn't
Leave
know
me
father,
alone. Let me know, talk with my hands,
I didn't
okay?
know Papa Maestro was Italian. Papa Maestro!
Do you want to talk about the movie?
No, you go ahead.
The most infuriating thing about this movie is every time there is a glimmer of hope of the good movie that could have been. There are times in this movie where they have... awesome orchestration where they have great comedic beats, like the servant girl Dahlia has some great comedic beats. Will Smith has some great comedic moments. There are some amazing dance numbers in this movie.
Do you want to talk about the songs themselves? The only song I liked was Jasmine's song that was original.
We're going to have some differences there.
I didn't like any other song because they basically played the music too loud. They didn't balance it out with them singing and the song.
I'm going to let you handle the music portion of it. I'll handle cinematography.
Go ahead.
I will say musically this movie was there were some really good moments. Friend Like Me was fine.
The Broadway inspiration for it, really. I mean, that's.
I will say, one of the biggest disappointments of this movie. I'm gonna get closer to the mic for this. This movie should not exist because it basically already exists in a better form. That is the Broadway musical that has been running for I don't even know how many years at this point. And I forgot the guy's name, but the original guy who played the live action genie might as well have just played this. Like, they had a cast ready to go. They had a cast of a perfect Aladdin, perfect Jasmine, perfect Jafar, like everyone who could have been good, just already ready to go. And they fucked it up with the wimpiest Jafar ever.
Oh, that piece of shit? It was horrible.
Jafar doesn't raise his voice the entire original Aladdin movie except when he loses the lamp to Abu. That is the only time he raises his voice. Yet the first scene we are introduced to him,
he's already shouting.
Screaming at somebody below him. And something I just want to point out, the fact that I have no directing experience, I have no cinematography experience, I cannot believe that these people, whoever directed it, whoever was in charge of it, did not take the opportunity to foreshadow the way Jafar sends Aladdin down the cliff tied to the chair by poking him with his golden snake staff. That sounds terrible out of context. But in the first... Jafar uses his own energy...
His hands.
Screaming, pushing somebody hands. Into a well. No, the original Jafar would have intimidated the henchman to jump into the well. Like, that's how the original Jafar mojo goes.
Basically, it would have, like, stared him down and made him scoot further and further back until the guy's on the edge and all he has to do is... And he falls.
Exactly.
Do you want to talk about the wasted potential of Alan Tudyk as Iago?
Alan Tudyk was Iago?
Yeah.
But Iago didn't have anything to do. First off, I loved Iago in this because it wasn't...
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, it wasn't Gilbert Godfrey, so thank God for that.
Oh, you didn't like Gilbert Godfrey?
I'm going to say the best part of this movie was the animals.
Oh, hands down, by the far. Carpet. The magic flying carpet is by far the best animation I have ever... I have never seen more expression in individual golden strands of thread than ever before. In this movie, I don't know how Disney seems to do it, but why is it that they put so much money into making things look lifelike and realistic when the true art of animation is bringing expression into something that originally didn't have life? It's expressing yourself and seeing a magic flying carpet with no face, no mouth, no lines be the most expressive, the best actor of the cast is a little disappointing, Disney.
Do you want to talk about how there's another reason why I picked this movie to be reviewed? Because it's a Guy Ritchie movie. And Guy Ritchie hasn't directed a good movie in 20 years. And this is also when another Guy Ritchie movie would be coming out, The Gentlemen. So that's probably another reason why I did it.
Even though I've heard good things about that, but I don't know. I also haven't seen a Guy Ritchie movie in a very long time. Didn't he do a King Arthur movie recently that bombed?
Yeah. He hasn't done a good movie since he got with Madonna. Snatch was the last good Guy Ritchie movie. And that was 2000.
Did he do the Sherlock Holmes movies?
They weren't that good?
They were okay.
They weren't the worst. I liked them.
They weren't as bad as a lot of other
that's
people.
That's a guilty
thought.
Pleasure movie for same. Me. Especially the second, since the slow-mo guys actually worked on the movie.
But
like,
the second one was bad.
But the slow-mo guys.
All right.
Okay, but that particular actor, what's his fucking name? The guy they got from Moriarty. Jared Harris? Is that Jared Harris? He's a phenomenal actor, and honestly, I wouldn't have thought of anyone else to be Moriarty. That was perfect.
Aladdin.
We're not talking... Yeah, Aladdin. If I can sum up this movie in one word, it'd be pointless. Because everything good about this movie, they took straight from the animated. And everything they tried to do different fucking failed. I will say there were certain actors in this movie who definitely tried. Will Smith actually tried. Like, of all my complaints about this movie, the genie is not really one of them.
He did the best he could.
He took on an impossible task.
So
he did the best he could with an impossible task.
So we obviously don't like Jafar. Marwan Kenzari.
Marwan Kenzari.
I have dyslexia, so.
Marwan Kenzari. I believe I'm going to call that Kenzaria.
Okay, cool.
Marwan Kenzari.
What about Kenzari. Naomi Scott?
I think she was fine. Yes. She was fine as Jasmine.
Yeah, and I understand Disney wanting to give Jasmine more of a voice than they did in the original, and I admire
their
role. I also think they accidentally
did more harm than good.
I agree, because as you know, the Admiral pointed out, you really enjoyed Jasmine's song.
Because it was original, and it was actually, like, not a part of, oh, hey, let's actually let her sing, actually let her have fun with it.
And I'll say, like, the song by itself is a fine song. It's a serviceable song. But when you put it in context of the scene where she's talking about wanting to be heard and no one can hear her.
Okay, I think this is a wonderful time for Buck Maestro to use some facts for y'all. What is it that term starts with a D?
Diegetic.
Please explain to the viewers what diegetic music is.
Okay, for non-music nerds out there, the difference between diegetic and non-diegetic music in film. Diegetic music is music that the characters within the film, as well as the viewers, can hear. It is real in the movie, and that's why we as viewers can hear it. Non-diegetic is only heard by the viewers. It's not being played or sung or danced to. It's the difference essentially between the actors performing the music and it just being background music for the viewer.
Okay, and that's my biggest issue with her song.
No, and that's fine. The song itself is fucking beautiful.
Is that it's non-diegetic. She's essentially singing a song about nothing to no one.
Yeah.
And it having absolutely no plot relevance.
Yeah. But I like the song because they let her have fun with it.
And I respect that. Yeah. I respect that. She has incredible... And you know what's interesting? When they did Magic Carpet, A Whole New World, when I first started hearing her sing, I knew it wasn't the original Princess Jasmine. What's her name?
Leia Salonga.
Thank God. But... you listen to it, and it's beautiful. She sounds like a Disney princess.
But,
so props.
But the thing is that with the original songs, as in a whole New World, or whatever, the music itself, the orchestra music, fights over them actually singing.
And I'm gonna blame that on the fact that this music, the music that they had in the original movie, had a tone. It had a theme.
Exactly.
It had musical.
They were leaning
prowess?
Way to, they had
it
a
just,
color palette. They
it,
had a,
it,
they
had
a defined
they
musical
had an
color
idea.
Palette.
Okay.
With this, you listen to some of, like, the Will Smith songs, I will let the 90s drum beats slide. Because
but
that's Will Smith,
that's
and that's
Will
his
Smith.
Style,
way,
and he makes it
you
work.
You didn't tell me that Will Smith kind of rapped at the end of the movie.
He kind
it's
of raps
fine.
Throughout the entire
kind
of, process.
Yeah, that's kind
of
his
but,
thing.
But he hasn't rapped at the end of a movie since Men in Black 2.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I'm not going to get that reference.
That's true. That's totally true, though.
Yeah.
Look, Will Smith was the least of the problems of this movie, because at least he tried.
At least
he brought his own character and spin to it, which you need to do with the genie, because the genie has such a huge personality that it splits into infinite ways.
Did you hear that people were upset that it wasn't a person of Middle Eastern descent playing the genie?
I would be more upset about that had the rest of the cast not also been of Middle Eastern descent.
Can I also say one thing? That is a fucking mythical creature.
It is a mythical creature. So, like, if
just
anyone
like
in this
Little
movie
Mermaid
is going
is
to be
a mythical
of...
creature, let the Little Mermaid be who the Little Mermaid wants
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, if anyone in this movie is going to be of ambiguous nationality, let it be the genie, who is just a mythical fucking creature.
Yes.
As
that's
you said,
fine.
The only difference between genies and giants is the fact that giants don't exist.
Giants aren't real.
Jinns are real, but, you know, that's a whole different
thing. That's a different thing.
But
I will say, every time Will Smith was on screen, the movie got better for a few seconds.
Yeah. It was nice. It was lovely. I'm sorry.
No.
But the handmaiden,
Dahlia.
I was like, dying. I'm more interested in that relationship than any
fucking dying.
Why isn't that the relationship?
Oh my god.
Wait, he's a human? It instantly gets like a woman?
Will you spend the rest of your life with me? Yes, and also I want children. I fell off the couch.
Beautiful timing, comedic timing between the two of them. God. They really did. They worked so well off of each other. And that just goes to show that Disney does still have great original ideas. Why can't they apply
Because they like to have creative control over things. Why don't you let directors come up with an idea and go, hey, this is what I want to do. Like,
Speaking of the director, though, I'm pretty sure this is a M. Night Shyamalan kind of Last Airbender situation, where the director and the creative team behind this only ever saw the original Aladdin once, and they weren't really paying attention.
Okay.
Now I do want to... I hate playing devil's advocate for Disney. I really do.
Oh, I thought you meant between the two of us.
Well, okay. That as well. That's...
That too. I've that's a whole other thing.
That's my daily job at this point. Anyway... it's the point that, you know, just like you said, the genie is a mythical creature, the Little Mermaid is a mythical creature, Aladdin is a made-up story.
Yeah, no.
So,
yeah.
Like, people can be mad at them for the remake and the stories that they went, they can be mad because they didn't stick to the original source, but Disney has been, quote-unquote, ripping off original source material for years and years and years and years. I mean, let the Grimm Brothers tales, etc., etc.
Do you want to talk about Street Rat? How horrible of a version that was?
All of Aladdin's songs
in this movie were
I
bad.
Think the biggest issue with any of the songs from the quote-unquote original is the fact that there is no cohesive tone. There are times where you pointed out either synthesized horns or real horns synthesized to the point that they sound fake. Yep. I hated the fact that nearly every song had that 90s drums in the background, if Will Smith wasn't in the song.
And every single vocalist in this movie was auto-tuned to death, despite most of them already being very good singers who didn't need auto-tune.
So Jafar,
like, Aladdin was being auto-tuned and he was still flat. Like, it's just, it's bad. The audio engineering in this movie is just bad, especially on the music point.
So you did like Jafar? Or you hated Jafar?
I hated Jafar in this movie.
He was one of the worst points in the movie.
I hated
the Sultan.
I loved his costumes.
I'm not going to blame that on the actor, though. I'm going to blame that on the director.
Guy Ritchie?
Casting.
Not necessarily even casting. He did okay for casting with the role, but I think a good director who knows source material
would have told him to be more restrained.
Do not yell. You are Jafar. You are smarter than yelling.
You need to, you know, hide that you are actually behind pulling all the strings.
Yeah. Yes.
No, what makes Jafar a terrifying villain is that he is fucking with your mind without you even knowing it.
Did you think it was over the top when Aladdin broke the staff? I thought it was over the top.
Okay, if you're gonna call that over the top, I think we need to go into the fact that Disney had to, in, as you said, Street Rat, the original opening song, not Knights in Agrabah, but Stealing the Loaf of Bread, one jump ahead of the
bread line.
Thank you. They filmed part of that in slow motion. However, the audio plays normal time.
Yeah.
And
there's some really weird fuckery going on to the normal pace
of the song. That means that Disney animators had to animate the normal singing faces on top of slow-mo body movement.
Yeah,
because they wanted the actors to be able to sing in normal time, but film the events in slow-mo. Disney, what the fuck?
What the actual fuck? No,
Disney needs to not make live-action movies. They need to stop.
They can make live-action movies, but they need to stop trying to adapt these already amazing animated works.
Okay,
and
fine. I got a thing for you. Instead of making the original live action movies, make the sequels. Make those. Disney, make the live action sequels. Make those.
Like Mary Poppins Returns was
good. I'm talking Return of Jafar. Don't make Aladdin live action. Make Return of Jafar.
Oh no, they need to not touch King of Thieves. They're not touching King of Thieves, or I will cut a bitch.
one?
Cinderella 2.
Because John Rhys-Davies is too old to play a live-action version of Aladdin's dad, but you can't have anyone else be that voice.
Oh my god, he would be perfect.
He...
Sala?
He was the voice.
Sala?
Gimli was the voice of Aladdin's dad, and no, he was absolutely perfect.
He can still do that.
Not physically.
No.
Not physically.
Truly, I hope Disney takes note, and I really hope the Academy for the Oscars takes note for the work that went into Klaus in 2019. It's been nominated for Best Animated Film. It's a 2D animated film in 2019. And if anybody knows anything about history of animation, it's that 2D pictures in the 2010s era have pretty much flopped for animation studios, whether it be DreamWorks, Illuminations. Illuminations hasn't done 2D, my bad. Disney. 2D just has not done well at all.
By the way, speaking of other movies, I'll piggyback on one if you're done. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, it's just that with the carpet, with Raja, with the things that Disney has to animate and put expression into, that's what animation is. So I just hope that, you know, Disney, if you want to do live action, come up with original stories. Like, I'm sorry, you could
have... I like Tomorrowland!
You could have skipped altogether this remade Aladdin and just done a story about the genie and Dahlia. I mean, honestly, you could have set up this whole story about the genie and Dahlia, and I think it would have been phenomenal. It would have been original. It would have been piggybacking off of nostalgia, which is exactly your moneymaker, but
you know
it's still original
doing?
Content.
You know what we're doing
right now?
We're
giving Disney ideas?
No, we're not just giving Disney ideas. We're doing what we as Star Wars fans have been complaining about for the last, like, 5 years since they started doing more and more just Skywalker shit, which just, there's so much more to do in the world of Star Wars than just the Skywalkers. There's so much more to do in the world of Disney animated stories than just the main stories that have already been told. You're absolutely right. A Genie Dahlia spinoff movie would be great. An Iago, like just that little animal trio would be fucking phenomenal. All with the magic carpet.
Iago, Abu, the magic carpet, and
Raja.
Raja go off to like Vegas. Is that what you want?
I'm just saying, look, if you're going to take the time to create an original storyline with a genie and a handmaiden and a live action, why couldn't you have run with the whole thing being that?
So
yes, as you were saying about Tomorrowland.
Before, I like Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland's a live action original idea. I fucking loved it. Yeah, it flopped, but that's because you didn't know how to fucking market it. Like, don't cut things over. Like, John Carter was amazing. But you didn't know how to fucking...
No one knew how to market it. The marketing was completely fucking botched.
The thing that you need to understand is that Disney, go back to doing original ideas. Live action original ideas. It'll be good if you learn how to fucking market it.
Or animated original ideas. I really would love to see 2D animation come back.
What's the last one? Was Princess and the Frog?
Yeah. And compared to, and within the same year, it was Tangled, I believe, that was released with Princess and the Frog. And you look at those two numbers, and despite the fact that, you know, we're a little bit biased down here, the far superior movie is Princess and the Frog. Tangled outperformed phenomenally well compared to Princess and the Frog.
Okay, to be fair, though, Princess and the Frog is a movie made by New Orleanians for New Orleanians. Like, that's made for us.
It's Leah Chase's movie.
Yeah, it is. It is really Leah Chase's movie. And if Disney even thinks about touching that with a live-action remake, there will be riots.
No. Can't do it.
So speaking of that, how would you rate Aladdin? Full gem, an amazing movie, half gem,
This is absolutely not a diamond in the rough.
No gem.
I will say that. Horrible. No gem.
No gem?
No gem. This is not a diamond in the rough. This is no gem. Sorry. That might be one of my first on the show, actually.
I give it a half gem if you're drunk.
I can agree with that. If you get really, really, really inebriated and messed up and have a bunch of friends to just sit around and roast this with, this could be a mid-tier half gem. Do you think, Lattice?
The way I see it is if you just leave it be. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. And if you do touch it, you're going to get trapped in the Cave of Wonders. Because the people that do love this movie are just going to sit in their little Disney bubble and not do anything about it. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. So we both think... Oh, so you give it a no gem or a half gem?
I'm going to give it a no gem of I'm not touching it, and if you do touch it...
A no gem of Cave of Wonders.
Yeah.
No gem of Cave of Wonders. All right, cool. That would be suck if you get trapped down there and there's nothing down there. But can we also talk about how Frank Welker came back to the Cave of Wonders? That was Frank Welker.
Oh, that is pretty cool. Okay.
And then let's talk about how the only studio in the world that has the money to live-action animate the mouth of the Cave of Wonders would be Disney, decided to cop out and just zoom in on the eyes of the Cave of Wonders so they wouldn't have to animate the mouth moving.
This movie had a Disney budget. There is no excuse for this movie to have looked as shoddy as it did.
There's no
CGI
reason
to be as
for
bad.
The ending credit dance number to be far... Yes. Far more spectacular than the entire 90 minutes of the movie. How dare the last 5 minutes post credits be so beautiful?
That's because Will Smith rapped.
Well, it's not just because Will Smith rapped. It's this big, extravagant fucking
Bollywood
musical
dance
number.
You've got beautiful choreography. Not only that, but for the first time in the entire movie, the costume colors are correct.
I understand there's
a lot of bright, vibrant colors in these cultures, but they all have a certain tone to them, and they are very earth tone. You can have bright colors, but they are borderline pastel, neon, and that's not right. So when you get to that ending scene, and you're seeing all of these dark, muted greens and these gorgeous oranges and bright yellows and deep reds. That's right. That's correct. It looked good. It sounded good. It felt energetic. It looked energetic. Why the hell was that not the whole movie?
I got an idea of why that was. Because that was the live video cast of the after party. And they just let him be in the costumes. They let Will Smith rap. They got Will Smith drunk. He rapped. That
point is, that should have been the whole movie.
That's the rap party.
That's what happens when you take Guy Ritchie out of the equation.
Yeah.
Disney, take note.
Yeah, point is, that should have been the whole movie.
By the way, guys, last week I did see Underwater with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
For it being a January movie, it wasn't that bad at all.
Oh!
Like, I went into it going, oh, it's going to be shit. And then when it literally, you're looking, so just think that you're looking over a crevasse, and then somebody just pushes you in, and you're like, oh, shit! And it just keeps going from there. It escalates from there.
Okay.
In a good way.
In a good way. All right.
Yeah. There's one point in the movie where I got scared, and I think I know why, because the thing bobbed 3 times. Because I was like, oh, it's going to bob twice, and then it bobbed the 3rd time. I was like, oh, God! Why a 3rd time? Why would you do that?
I'm so sorry to anyone listening with earphones right now.
And then they had a big... a type of character from mythology in the depths that we've been wanting to see on screen.
Cthulhu!
But...
Okay, we might need to...
You spoke the dog's languages for a second.
Look at that spike.
It looks like a giant lawn dick, and I'm not sorry.
By the way...
Proudest accomplishment! You should be proud, mother.
By the way, can I say one thing? That the dog... You spoke the dog's language. Not because they're dogs. They're both half Mexican. So, they both are like... Go!
I'm so sorry, everyone. I love Cthulhu, but not Cthulhu,
but done in such a way where you're like, that's supposed to be Cthulhu, and I like that you didn't go with Cthulhu.
Okay, originality.
Exactly.
Look at that, take note,
but
directors.
But the funny part about it is, guess what? That movie was actually made like 4 years ago, and it's just now being released. Underwater.
Wow.
Isn't that weird how film studios
it's
can
sit
get
in
control
limbo like that?
So take Aliens, put it underwater, but then put you at the Mariana Trench.
Okay.
And Pacific Rim thrown in.
Oh, I love Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim is phenomenal.
No, but the underwater sequence of Pacific Rim only.
Can we review Pacific Rim?
Please, Ellen McLean. Oh my God, I love Ellen McLean. Please.
Okay. Not right now.
Okay,
no,
okay,
but soon,
I would say
point.
Go check out Underwater. I went and saw it. Well, I mean, I saw it because I sold my soul to AMC's A-List. But I went on a Tuesday when it was technically $5.
There you go.
And I was like, it's not bad for $5.
Yeah, you know, and at that point, if you've got the AMC pass, if you've got coupons, if you've got friends, a $5 movie is not bad.
All I gotta say is that I did see some illegal activity after I was done. Some guy literally was filming it as we were leaving.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got today?
And we also have... Do you need me to pause, GLaDOS? You're good? Okay, cool. We also have some other news that we need to talk about. Is Morbius the trailer?
Yeah, so...
Trailer talk! Trailer, trailer, trailer. Bogans, Bogans, Bogans. Trailer, Bogans, trailer, Bogans, trailer, Bogans. Your Bogans, mate. You got some Bogans right here.
I don't know what that means.
It's an Australian term for a redneck, mate, is a Bogan. All right. So, Morbius the trailer.
This just seems like another mediocre vampire movie.
So is Morbius in the MCU?
I don't know, and I don't really care. It doesn't seem...
Are you upset that Jared Leto's basically playing Jesus, the bad version?
No, I'm not upset. I'm just kind of like, about this movie, because Jared Leto is just playing another modern Dracula, almost. And it just looks like another mediocre vampire movie. It looks like another mediocre modern Dracula movie. And I understand that this is...
You didn't like when he sliced his hand and the bats came out and they fed on it?
First off, I hate any movie in which any character draws blood by slicing across their palm, because you're severing so many goddamn nerves that way. There are so many easier ways to get a few drops of blood onto a sacrificial thing than severing all those fucking nerves. Just prick your thumb or tip of your finger or something like that. Like... There's so many other places you could slice without damaging yourself so permanently. But, okay, never mind. That's probably not the best message to say on a podcast, is it?
not to cut yourself? No, that's the best message you could say. Do not cut yourself.
I hope that's the message people are getting from that.
Don't cut yourself. Yeah, listen, yeah. Talk to people. There's a hotline you can call if you're
anyway,
that desperate.
Morbius. Morbius.
Jeez. Yes, Morbius.
I'm just... It's okay, and if it's good, it's good. If not...
Jared Leto?
I'm kind of unfazed by Jared Leto now. Like,
is he the Joker?
He was okay as the Joker, just the movie's editing and directing killed him.
What about Vulture apparently being in that version?
Cool. I don't know what's going on with the weird state of flux of the Spider-Man movies right now.
It's always in flux.
It's just, no one knows who it belongs to, no one knows where it is narratively, it's just, none of it makes sense.
Alright, so, do you have anything to say, GLaDOS, on the Morbius trailer?
No.
Okay.
Nah.
I want to see more, but I want to not see the entire movie.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a little more fleshed out trailer.
So it sounds like you'll want better marketing. Basically, you want marketing that doesn't spoil it, and you want marketing that doesn't make it look like a typical vampire movie.
Yeah, like, why should I watch this? What makes this different from your just average, default vampire modern movie?
The music I forgot to mention about Underwater, it's very synthy. It's synthy.
Very synth-heavy. Well, yeah, a lot of that's underwater. Coming back because a lot of that 80s synth aesthetic is coming back. Speaking of music, this terrible rendition of Fleur Elise.
No, would we watch it on the television in the video store? I watched you go insane, but the way I go insane when I watch, like, a bad movie or somebody going around and go, no, that's actually in the other movie. That's not in the same... Yeah, it is. The movie you're talking about is not that. That's not the same movie. Like, I've gotten more reserved in my age, so I literally saw what I see when somebody tries to tell me that a movie's not in the right way with the visual of your...
I just hate over-the-top action trailer versions of classical music. Because they're clearly only sampling it because it's in the public domain.
Yeah, that's exactly
which is even
the
more
only
upsetting
reason.
Because if anyone has the money to buy the rights to good songs that aren't just in the public domain, it's Marvel and Disney and Sony. But I...
Support your local musicians.
Yes, yes, please.
It's kind of a short episode this week because, you know, Morbius trailer. So, would you see it opening day?
Redbox.
Wow.
Most.
Okay.
GLaDOS. I'm sorry, what's the rest of the scale?
No, it's okay. No, you're done. Would you like a choice?
Opening
day,
say,
matinee, or Redbox?
Pending further trailer results.
Okay.
Pending further trailer
results. I'm going to go with that. Matinee. Okay. Matinee.
Or Tuesday.
But only if it's done, like you said.
Yeah.
Not given away. It's marketed properly.
Pending trailer results.
I'm okay with it. Before we go any further, guys, it is the new year. Please, I'm speaking on earlier about not cutting yourself, just make sure that there is a suicide hotline prevention that you can call. It's 1-800-273. Sorry, I almost switched up those numbers.
You want me to help you out?
8255. I'm sorry. You got it. And it's also available 24 hours. So if you need help, if you're worried about waking your friends up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. And by the way, if they're pissed that you're calling them, then they're not a fucking friend.
1-800-273-8255. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And you can call if you need somebody to talk to you. You can call if you're concerned about a friend. They can help you out. You never know what people are going through. It's like the Admiral and Buttmaestro say every single episode. Be kind. Be nice. You never know what people are going through. And, you know, you talked about that earlier, so I wanted to make sure that got out there.
Like, guys, there's no reason for you to end your own life. There's no reason for you to end anyone's life.
Just be kind.
Yes. Care about people.
It's chaos. Be kind.
Like, actually take a mental day. Go and talk to, you know, professionals if you need to. But more likely, talk to your friends if you can't afford professionals. Like, talk to people. Care about them. Actually care about people that you care about. Like, don't be a fucking dick because you feel like you hold the rights to everything. The fuck? Like, people are people. Why don't be free, bro?
So where can they find us, Admiral?
Oh, Marty and the Arrogant Observer. Thank you guys for letting us watch it through your ear holes. Your ear holes of LowRainPictures.com, guys. Thank you. Did you listen to the episode of My Name is Dolomite Is My Name?
I probably will have by the time this episode comes out. But because we're recording this ahead of time and literally an hour after we recorded the last one where you already asked me if I had watched it and I hadn't yet, give me about a week. So by the time this comes out, I probably will. No, I didn't listen to the your episode.
Yeah, you said you did.
I
guess I'm a time traveler. I guess that's how I work. But yeah, guys.
Time traveling ball pit.
Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music, and also thank you, Gladys, for coming back on. I know we have.
Thank you for having me.
We have a special episode coming up next week.
Yes. Oh yes.
I know you're super excited about that.
Dying for this list. Very excited.
I've gotten it so good that I've been able to dodge produce.
Until you realize I'm next to you in flowers.
Yes, that's the weirdest point. Is now I have to learn to adapt from a different angle without looking.
Flower bombs.
Exactly.
I'm very jealous that I never get to open with you guys anymore.
You should have that change. You should go talk to somebody.
I've been trying to. That's not for the podcast, though.
But it's whatever.
Thanks to all of our friends at Swapper Jacks for listening and caring about us and giving us feedback on all the fun stuff.
Email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. Let us know how you found out about us. Let us know if you met either one of us in the line at Swapper Jacks. And... some people say that we've took your phone. We have not taken your phone to have downloaded on the phone. It's fine. But people are amazed when I say this podcast is almost 5 years. They're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, according to my calculations, it's pretty damn close to Mr. Buttmaestro's 1 year anniversary.
Oh, no, it is. When the one that we do comes out, will probably be about the right one.
Well, then, happy late 1 year, Buttmaestro.
Well, happy early 1 year, Buttmaestro.
Close enough. Thanks, everyone.
Whatever
it's been
is.
A lot of fun. I can't wait to do more.
See, I also have the way that the show is supposed to be released in my head, and I also have the way of it's actually being recorded in my head.
Yeah.
So my brain is like, I know what to say exactly, and I know what not to say. Because I am the holder of the timeline.
I am the key master. Are you the gamekeeper? Exactly.
But guys, please just have fun. Be cool. Be kind to everybody. You got anything else before we head out?
I'm good. Thanks, everyone.
Don't they y'all need are to awesome. Find out where you're...
I mean, look, if you really want to bug me on Twitter, you can find me at RoeBear2010. If you want to really bug me on Instagram, you can find me at TheRoeBear2MMX.
Yep. And also, guys, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HollandSciFi. Guys, that's all we got to say. So
I don't think GLaDOS has any social media, does she?
GLaDOS is gone now. The hologram has disappeared. I don't know what you're talking about. She went, you know, full Wayne's World. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. She did that. You didn't see that? Literally, Wayne and Garth came up with do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Am I the only one that saw that?
Bye, everyone.
All right, guys. Lock your homes and see you later. Bye.